Theater of the Mind.
I'm a big fan of crossover movies that mix two different genres together, when it's done well, anyway. Horror films are a natural for genre mixers, because any topic can be made scary. I'm a fan of war movies, especially World War I and II, and the horror genre fits war movies like a glove. It makes perfect sense when you think about it. Horror is about fear and revulsion and a feeling of recoil from violence and atrocity. And what more perfectly personifies that than the systematic, organized dehumanization and mass murder known as war? Horror movies set in World War II often involve some sort of hideous secret program of Hitler's, oftentimes involving the creation of some sort of super soldier. Films like Dead Snow, Outpost, and Shockwaves all had as their central tenet a fairly simple formula. If you thought Nazis were bad, just think how bad undead Nazis would be. Often a certain amount of camp and cheesiness are to be expected with a setup like that, and I'm down with it as long as there's sufficient gore and mayhem to keep it from becoming pure slapstick. So, when I heard about Frankenstein's Army, I knew this was something I just had to see, and it did not disappoint. There was ample blood, guts, atrocity, and pure madness to counterbalance the low-budget effects and sheer ridiculousness of it, and it was just a really fun, messy, dark ride. For those who haven't seen it, the story revolves around a squad of Russian soldiers in eastern Germany near the end of World War II who find an abandoned underground factory which has been taken over by the grandson of none other than Dr. Victor Frankenstein himself. In a last desperate attempt to salvage the war, the mad doctor has been commissioned by the Third Reich to create soldiers from the bodies of the fallen. Frankenstein pieces together the dead, along with whatever machinery or weaponry he can get his hands on, and these reanimated patchwork monstrosities are the very heart and soulless soul of one of the craziest movies I've seen in years. The Shocktail guys were right. That flick would make one hell of a haunt. I just love cyborgs. They're one of my all-time favorite movie monsters, and the sheer chaos of the grungy, hodgepodge, low-tech Borgs in Frankenstein's Army just felt deliciously insane. Even the scene of the guy with the airplane propeller for a head was horrifying, in spite of its absurdity, and the pure wrongness of it made it as disturbing as it was hilarious. I think that's the root of what makes the cyborg such a cool monster. Its very existence is just disturbing. Whether it's a machine shop abomination like the aforementioned, or a cleaner, high-tech hybrid like Matt Damon's character in Neil Blomkamp's Elysium, it's just wrong. In a haunt, I'd probably prefer the rougher, lower-tech mechanical look, all grungy and heavy-looking, but that's just my personal aesthetic preference. Cyber-enhanced villains and monsters of all types can offer a wealth of creative choices for the haunter. A few times on this show, I've addressed topics concerning the natural world and the potential for fear that it offers in a haunt's design. Nature, outside the realm of human control, can be an unsettling and scary place. But that sense of the uncanny that it holds comes not merely from its otherness, but also from its sameness. We're all living organisms, and thus we are part of the natural world. Technology has enabled us to repair our bodies with man-made items, like artificial joints, heart valves, pacemakers, and the like. But those don't seem to bother anyone, probably because they're only there to restore function that was lost or impaired. And, perhaps just as pertinent, generally they can't be seen. It's the conspicuous modification of the physical form that starts to bother people. You may be aware that someone has a prosthetic leg, for example, but as long as he's wearing long pants, he's just a guy with a limp. But tell me you don't still feel a little uncomfortable seeing someone with one of those old-time hook prostheses instead of a hand. It's made of stainless steel and not even remotely human-looking, and the average person who's not used to it has to make an effort not to stare. And that's not a monster, that's just Grandpa. Now, take a real monster or a zombie and outfit it with all sorts of artificial appliances and modifications, and the squick factor goes through the roof. Something natural, a human being or an animal, has been corrupted and made unnatural. By design. In the haunt world, the Mad Lab is a staple of Halloween, and hordes of horridly modified undead would be right at home there. But its application need not be restricted to the classic Universal Pictures Frankenstein model. Let's take a zombie-themed haunt, for example. Some diabolically-minded survivors might simply take to chaining zombies outside their gates with hooks, spikes, or blades attached to them, providing extra threat to any living humans who plan to fight their way through them to get to the house. Or a deranged scientist or witch doctor could find a way to mentally control them to attack with their attached weapons and use them as a first-wave disposable army. Or just have a few milling around with dynamite strapped around their bodies and conspicuous radio antennas attached to their backs. I'll tell you what, if I was on the writing staff of The Walking Dead, it'd be a whole different show. For the science fiction-minded, an alien-themed haunt would be a veritable cornucopia of creative ideas for cyber-augmentation. The aliens themselves, of course, would be a rich canvas for ideas, with optical inserts, life support apparatus, and weapons installed directly into their bodies. The types of modifications the aliens sport could even be a tip as to their function within the alien collective. But they could also retrofit the hapless humans they capture, making them unwilling slaves and minions, or hook them up to some horrible sort of parasitic harvester machinery like the humans in the Matrix, a fate worse than death. An awesome source of inspiration for alien tech enhancement is Star Trek's Borg Collective from their Next Generation and Voyager series and the movie First Contact. The gradual design change over the years is striking, as the aesthetic gradually became more biomechanical. Originally appearing purely as humanoids with installed equipment, as the show continued, the modifications became progressively more organic-looking, with the understanding that much of the electrical implantation and modification was done by inoculating the host with nanotech seeds that would sprout and spread throughout the body like a cancerous growth, hijacking the host's nervous system and subverting him to the hive. That's the cool thing about aliens as a theme. Technology can become anything you want it to be, and when it starts to blur the lines between living and mechanical, it can gain a whole unsettling sort of flavor of its own. An obvious story setting for a cyborg menace is the apocalypse. Thanks to the popularity of the Terminator franchise, the presence of damaged, semi-mechanical human soldiers seems like a perfectly logical presence in a post-Holocaust world. The Terminators, of course, were designed as infiltrators, and so their mechanical identity was hidden beneath ordinary-looking flesh and would only reveal itself when the unit itself was damaged. But the cyber enhancement theme has plenty of other possibilities. For example, in a world ravaged by nonstop war, it would seem logical that gradually the different sides in the conflict would technologically escalate, trying to make their soldiers progressively tougher, more capable, and more deadly. It could be a last-ditch effort by one side to survive, like the Deathborgs in Frankenstein's army. Or it could be that the Earth has become so polluted and war-ravaged that mechanical enhancement simply becomes the next phase of human evolution, as the species refuses to die out. Grim stuff, indeed. Another place where cyborgs might feel right at home is Hell. In the old id Software Doom series of video games, the monsters and demons in Hell also counted among their ranks many creatures that were mechanically augmented, and many of the architectural backdrops appeared to be made from combined machinery and flesh. My namesake, the Revenant, technically, in folklore, refers to any ghost or animated corpse returning from the dead, usually to fulfill some purpose. But the specific creature I had in mind when I chose that online name was the Revenant from Doom 2, a hideous, decaying cyborg zombie with a plasma cannon as one of its arms. Since Hell is assumed to be a place of great evil and power, it stands to reason that the overlords there would use whatever means they have available to maintain an advantage, and if they can make their foot soldiers deadlier by modifying them mechanically, so be it. And then, in the movies, we sometimes see human flesh modified in a setting that has no other context than to just be horrible and intimidating. Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses springs to mind, with the antics of the insular, crazed family of murderous hillbillies eventually leading to hideous, day-glow half-robot creatures like Dr. Satan and the Professor. Didn't make a hell of a lot of sense, but then most of that movie didn't. It really didn't have to. It was all about horribleness and atrocity and madness. The crazier, the better. And it was written and directed by a heavy metal Halloween freak, so pretty much anything goes. Other low-budget movies like Skinned Deep and Monster Man just demonstrate that corrupting the body or face of its bad guys with metal parts or mechanisms just plain makes them scarier and more grotesque. Anytime you have a family or clan of isolated mutant rednecks, you should always consider the benefits of outfitting one with a few modifications. After all, when Billy Zeke gets a bad injury, but it's a long, long way into town, and Buford's the only one who knows how to drive, but he's a hydrocephalic with a second face growing out of his neck, it can be hard to get in and out of town to see a doctor without incident. So Pa just has to make do with his tools and fix him up with what's on hand. Imagine a Hills Have Eyes or Texas Chainsaw scenario where the homicidal hicks have machetes or hooks for hands and spiked armor plates attached to their face and chest, and the big guy has the chainsaw or circular saw or auger as an arm. And of course, while the main thrust of this discussion has been the mechanically refitted human, there's no reason why other beasts can't be cybered up as well. An evil genius may very well have his security augmented with enhanced creatures. Trained hellhounds with security cameras, armored crocodiles with steel jaws, or sharks with frickin' lasers in their heads will all send a clear message. Visitors are not appreciated and will be dealt with harshly. Cybering up your monster actors and turning them loose on the haunt can provide an awesome atmosphere of mayhem. The physically modified character is intimidating on multiple levels. The crazed maniac, cold-blooded killer, or deformed mutant is ominous enough as it is, but when the flesh is corrupted and remodeled and retrofitted, it becomes an assault on our very sensibilities. All animals, people included, have an instinctive understanding of what constitutes normal physical makeup of members of their own species, and an individual that deviates from that is eyed with suspicion. We can allay this negative reaction with sympathy and empathy if the deformity is due to illness or injury or birth defect, but the intentional distortion and refitting of the physical form by human design that goes beyond the merely cosmetic strikes a dark chord. And when that augmentation is clearly made for dark purposes, it shows that the subject is not merely a threat in and of itself, but is part of a greater evil as well. Machines have no compassion, no empathy, so the person who is more machine is seen to have less of a soul. Cold, mechanical efficiency is fine for an industry, but not so much for man, who's all too human in humanity, and capacity for savagery is best left unenhanced. Science and nature don't need to be at odds with one another, but in many ways they really shouldn't mix. Unless, of course, we're the ones mixing them. Keep the ghost light burning. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.